Good morning, everybody, both those here and those that are watching via internet or however they're watching. I'm tired of talking about sin. I'm tired of talking about what's going wrong. I'm tired of talking about people's fears and concerns. So what I want to do is I want to talk about Jesus. Because isn't that what this is all about? Sure, it's about sin and us doing things wrong and how to get better. Sure, it's about how we handle the things of the world, and that's eventually where we're going to end up this morning. But it's about Jesus. That's what it's about. That's why we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine. It's about Jesus. And I said it before, and I need to repurpose again. I personally need to spend more time when I'm giving lessons talking about Jesus and less about the other stuff. Less about the other stuff. So let's talk about Jesus. Sometimes the simplest questions are the most revealing and the hardest. So this is a question we're going to talk about today.
If you can read it.
Was Jesus happy? As I was thinking through all the gallery in my head of pictures that have been painted of Jesus, I find pictures in my head of that have been painted of Jesus showing or displaying a look of compassion. I see Jesus showing a look of concern. I see Jesus with his eyes saying he loved those around him. But I don't ever remember seeing a picture of Jesus smiling. In fact, I'm not sure as I went through my head I've ever seen a picture of Jesus' teeth. And that's Jesus smiling. Do you picture Jesus smiling? You ever remember a picture of Jesus with his eyes twinkling like somebody that's got something up their sleeve? Someone that's enjoying what's going on? Don't remember that. We have a story of Jesus weeping, but we have no story of Jesus laughing. Do you think Jesus ever laughed? When they were sitting around the campfire at night and they were just being people, which he was, do you think Jesus heard something that was funny? Did Jesus have a funny bone? Did he laugh? Was he happy? Man has a unique ability that I've talked about before to experience competing emotions at the same time. So, if I'm eating chocolate, I'm happy. But if I'm trying to lose weight while I'm eating chocolate, I'm guilty. And so I'm happy and I'm guilty all at the same time. All at the same time. When we go to a wedding, we find it to be a beautiful expression of love. The parents of the bride and groom are usually happy and excited and thrilled with the proceedings, etc. But at the same time, they're sad because their son or daughter is leaving them and being bound to someone else. And so they've effectively lost, in one way or another, a child. And that child has lost their childhood. And so at the same time, I am happy and I'm sad. And for Christians, you see it most dramatically when you go to a Christian funeral. And we sit there, and our loved one has passed, and they're laying in the coffin, and we view them, and we're sad. We're sad that they're not with us anymore. But Paul in 1 Thessalonians talk about, I don't want you to act like other people when people die. I want you to be happy. So Christians at a funeral can cry, one eye, tears of sadness, the other eye, tears of joy, for the person who's gone on to be with Jesus. Does Jesus have cause to be unhappy? Maybe that's the way we should look at it. Did Jesus have cause to be unhappy? Yeah. At least from my perspective, he had multiple causes to be unhappy while he was here. The first thing was, he was away from home. I don't know about you, but I tend to be a little bit of a homebody. I like to go on vacation, but I like coming home. Okay? I like to be gone, but I like to be back. 33-plus years, Jesus was away from home. We talk about our soldiers, and I think about our soldiers that have gone off to fight in world wars and less than world wars, but dramatic wars nonetheless, such as Korea or Vietnam. And they're horrible, but what makes it even more horrible is the fact that the men and women who go off to fight them leave their home. You watch those pictures of the trains and things and people boarding them and their family standing there. And I remember Dad talking about how hard it was to leave because I don't think he'd ever really been away from home. Jesus has been with his Father for a little while and a little while longer, an eternity, before he came to earth. Do you think he missed being home, sitting down with Father God in heaven? Many times Jesus expressed a longing to be with his Father. A longing to be with his Father. So I'm sure he was unhappy about that. Certainly wouldn't make us happy. What about the inconveniences? When I get inconvenienced, I am not happy. If I have to wait in a long line because somebody was stupid, I am not happy. If you go back in our lifetime, one generation, and if you go back two, it's even more dramatic. That's where the dramatic shift is. But one to two generations, things that you all take for granted and I take for granted each and every day as conveniences did not exist perhaps even in someone's imagination. So we get up in the morning and I hit the bed number. I can move my bed around. We go in, and I use an electric razor for what I trim. I used an electric razor, and I get my electric toothbrush and brush my teeth, and I climb in a shower and hit the knob, and I get hot water, and I use soaps the likes of they'd never seen before in our country. They used to make their own out of lye, which would take off not only the dirt but your hide if you left it on long enough. And I get my special shampoo, and I shampoo. You want to go through your whole day? How you cook, how you clean, how you work, everything? We're so convenient, it's pathetic. I often worry if we had to settle the United States again, it'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that had the gumption or the toughness to do what the settlers had to do. But was Jesus inconvenienced? Just being in a human body was inconvenient. Despite the fact he could, on demand, walk through things, disappear, be miles away from where he was a moment ago, but despite his ability to do those things, he still was in a human body with all the things that demanded. And that would have been very inconvenient, okay? Very inconvenient. Matthew 8 and 20, it said he didn't have a place to lay his head when someone said they were going to follow him. He said, be careful, I don't even have a place to lay my head. How many pillows do you have? I have three or four. I kind of switch around among, wobble them, and decide which one I like that night, and this, that, and the other. I don't even have to go with one pillow. What did Jesus own? He had no property. He had no vehicle. He had to borrow a donkey to ride on. He had no jewelry. He had no bank account. He had no retirement account. Didn't even carry his own money, what they had. The little they had, he had somebody else carry it. What did he own? The clothes on his back. That's what he owned. The clothes on his back. That was it. 33 years, and if at the end of that 33 years you take an account as to how successful Jesus has been by the things he owned, he would have been poverty-stricken several times over because all he owned literally was like the homeless in town, their clothes on their back, and some of them owned more than that. They at least got a tent somewhere, probably a pillow, maybe some other things. So he was inconvenienced, and certainly that makes me unhappy. And I'm sure at times when he had to take care of this body of his that he had taken on, he had, oh boy, I remember I didn't have to do this stuff. This is inconvenient. So yeah, he might have been unhappy. You know, we say frequently that we can cure some cancers, we can cure some infections, but no one has ever found a cure for stupid. Right? We're all prone to say that, even though we're all stupid from time to time. No one's ever found a cure for stupidity or ignorance. And when you're around someone that's just inappropriately doing things that are stupid, they should know better, it is aggravating. It makes me unhappy. I just really don't have much patience with someone who is just stupid because they won't apply themselves or whatever. How do you think the Son of God, with the intellect that goes with the Son of God, how do you think the Son of God feels dealing with stupid all the time? He talks about loves, we talked about this morning. He talks about serving one another. The next thing he knows, they're fighting about who's going to be the greatest. Whew. Not happy. In fact, his patience is without bounds. Not happy. When he was trying to teach people who were willing to listen, the Pharisees would show up and ask some stupid question. And he would answer it. You think that wasn't aggravating? You think that wasn't frustrating? Do you think he at times wished they'd just go away? Sometimes I wonder when Jesus went away and disappeared through a mob, what would happen if he just had the Pharisees go away? He could have been very unhappy. We as people, individuals, and group are made unhappy when injustice we see around us. Jesus was God. He was totally just and fair. Do you think it bothered him to live in a Roman Empire that was not just and fair? To live in an occupied country where things were not just and fair? To live among legalistic Pharisees where things were not just and fair? Where they said, I don't think we'll take care of it. I don't need to support my father and mother. I gave it the temple. I gave it the temple. Do you think it made Jesus unhappy when they had to go out and find witnesses to lie at his trial and they couldn't even make up a good enough lie to get him convicted? They had to go through several false witnesses before they found a couple they could kind of hang their hat on and try to make it something that it wasn't. Think that made him unhappy? It sure could have. Makes me unhappy when things like that happen. Do you think it made Jesus happy when he thought about what was coming? When he thought about the cross? You think that made Jesus happy? When Luke talks about him in the garden, sweating drops of blood, that's not a happy person. So answer the simple question. Was Jesus unhappy as a person, as a human being here on earth? Or was Jesus happy? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Just like we can experience different emotions at the same time, so could Jesus. You know, sometimes what we think will make us happy pales once we get it. You know, some of you, maybe quite a few of you, had the opportunity to, one that always comes to mind is buy a new car, buy a different car even, buy a different car, excited about that. Should ask Mason to give this part of the talk. Excited about that. And a week later, it's just a car. The rest of us kind of hang on to it and keep going. Mason trades it for something else. How many cars you been through? 40 some. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. So, sometimes anticipation is better than the real thing. It is better than the real thing. One of my favorite verses has become and was referred to in class this morning briefly in another context in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So was Jesus happy when he contemplated the cross? Yes. Because he could anticipate what that meant for you and I. And what it meant for him to please the Father. Was Jesus happy when he was around stupid people? Yes. Because he could anticipate them getting smarter. At least smarter about God. And having a chance to be forgiven. Was Jesus happy when he endured the frustrations of injustice in the world of his time? Yes, because he knew that the ultimate justice was going to be done. And man had a chance to be eternally saved. Despite the pains, Jesus, I think, was a happy person. He was a happy person. Unhappy with some things, but a happy person. Jesus is a happy person. So are you happy? I see some smiles here. Don't be afraid. Are you happy? I want to see some teeth. Okay? Are you happy? Are you happy? Thank you, Abby. You're welcome. Are you happy? Yeah. We should be the happiest of all people. Irregardless. I'm going to use that word if I want to. Okay? They've been playing with the dictionary lately with all kinds of things, so I think I can get that one in. Despite the things that might be going on, we should be the happiest of all people. We should have a proverbial calm, maybe not laughing out loud, maybe not jumping up down with glee, but when I look in a Christian's eyes, I should see some happiness there. I should see some joy there. Why? The same reason Jesus could go all through these things and see some joy and be happy himself. Because he could anticipate us. And we can anticipate. We can anticipate. Each and every day we can anticipate being able to go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness for all our stupidity, all our blunders, and know it's gone. If that doesn't make you happy, you're dead. Or really stupid. It's gone. And know that if you were in an accident on the way home, you would go to heaven. What's that worse? What kind of happiness should that give us? We should be happy people. Because we know. We know. Whatever the circumstance. Whatever's going on. We should be ultimately happy people. You know, God looked at Job back in the Old Testament. Never quite understood the circumstances, how Job and or how Satan and God ended up in the same place there. But they were having a conversation. And God said to Satan, said, have you considered my servant Job? How good he is? And Satan says, well, yeah, he's good. Look at all he's got. Well, God says, I'll let you hammer on that a little bit and we'll see. We'll see. And you remember what happened to Job? He had it all taken away. But was still faithful to God. And God says, see, I told you so. Told you so. And the devil said, yeah, but if you attack his body, where he really lives, then let's see what's happened. And God said, okay, but you can't kill him. And we know what happened to Job with boils and horrible situation. But he was still faithful. You know, when we show up in heaven, or at judgment more, God is not necessarily going to say, "Have you considered my servant Ruth? Have you considered my servant Greg? Have you considered my servant Derek? Have you considered my servant Trent or my servant Nancy?" I hope not, because they consider me very much. They're going to know how frail and bad and sinful I've been. But you know what God is going to say? When Satan stands there accusing you of all those things, he's going to say, "Have you considered my son? Have you considered my son, how good he was? He was perfect. He was perfect." "Yeah, but what about what Greg did?" "My sons are with him. He's perfect. Consider my son." They're not going to be looking at me. If I've got Jesus with me, they're going to be looking at Jesus. Going to be looking at Jesus. And that should make us happy. Happy people. Despite anything that might happen. In the world, to us personally, whatever, we all have troubles. We all have concerns. We all have fears. That's normal. That's normal. What makes us different is we can be happy at the same time we have those things, because we have Jesus with us. I think Jesus was a happy person. And I think Jesus wants you to be a happy person. Now and ultimately, happy. We offer you the opportunity as we stand and sing the closing song.